The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Connolly, Judge Werke, Judge Klopaki, the Honorable Francis J. Connolly presiding.
Thank you and good morning. Our first case this morning is the State of Minnesota Respondent versus DVL. The file number is 821-0640. As all parties are aware, the appellant will have 15 minutes for their argument in chief. Respondent will have 15 minutes. And then finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. As you all know, we are doing this by Zoom, and there will be an audio recording of this argument available tomorrow. However, all parties are specifically prohibited from doing any of their own recording, either video or audio, and that also goes for anyone who is observing. So please keep that in mind. With that, then, counsel for the appellant, whenever you're ready, just tell us who you are in a loud, clear voice, please.
Certainly. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Andrew Wilson. I represent Mr. Lundeen, along with Britta Torkelson, who appears but will not be arguing.
Thank you.
Your Honors, there are two issues that are before the court this morning. The first is that appellant's 1994 conviction for felony solicitation does not qualify as a conviction of an offense for which registration is required under Minnesota Statute 243.166. The second, relatedly, is that the prohibition under Minnesota Statute 609A02 subdivision 4 applies only to statutory expungements, which cover both executive branch and judicial branch records, and does not apply to expungements based on a court's inherent authority to control their own records. The first argument, I agree with the respondent that the statute is ambiguous and could be read in at least two different ways. The first would be that a defendant's particular conviction required registration. The second is that the predatory offender registration statute presently requires registration for this type of conviction, regardless whether the defendant's specific offense triggered an obligation to register at the time they were convicted.
So would it be fair to say under either of those two scenarios that Mr. Petras argues you lose as to the first issue?
No, Your Honor. Under the first interpretation, I believe we prevail. Under the second interpretation, which is the interpretation the district court engaged in, I believe we lose. And I believe that under the first, I believe that the first interpretation, that it's offense specific, is supported by the reading of the statute as a whole, instead of piecemealing it and instead of adding language to it. Here, the district court felt the need to add language to the statute in coming to the conclusion that it did. And that language was specifically the three words, if committed today. Now, effectively, what the district court held was that the statute as a whole read, records of a conviction of an offense for which registration is required under section 243.166, if committed today, may not be expunged. And the language—
counsel, your motion is predicated on inherent judicial expungement as opposed to statutory. So what relevance is there to the discussion about the statute?
Your Honor, the second issue is more important to the resolution of our claim, but the first issue does have some relevance, and that is that we are requesting the court remand it for a hearing not inconsistent with the Court of Appeals opinion. And on remand, we're arguing that the nature and severity of the offense, which is a prong the court must consider, necessarily includes consideration of legislative acts. And so if this statute does apply, at least under a statutory framework, I believe the district court will use it as at least instructive authority in determining whether or not to exercise the court's inherent authority.
So no, I'm confused, Mr. Wilson. So if the remedy you seek is to have it sent back, are you asking us to instruct the court to review it both for statutory authority as well as inherent authority?
No, Your Honor, we'd be requesting just an inherent authority expungement, but one of the prongs of the inherent authority expungement test requires consideration of the nature and severity of the offense. And our argument is
but how is that affected by this discussion about what the statutory expungement process is?
Because the nature and severity of an offense necessarily includes taking into consideration legislative acts. You can't turn a blind eye to what the legislature has done. And that leads to the second issue, which is that the legislature cannot bind the judiciary, but in affording deference to the co-equal branches, the judiciary should certainly take into consideration recent legislative acts, at least regarding registration. Now, Mr. Lundin does not have to register under 243166. He's never had to register under 243166, but he has had to register as a predatory offender. And so on remand, the district court likely will consider the fact that he does.
Right, so here's what I'm hearing you say. What you're saying is have the court apply its inherent authority, but take into consideration that the offense is not as it would appear to be because of the fact that he wouldn't have to register in Minnesota and the legislative changes. Is that what you're saying? Is kind of a review of the judiciary's authority to remedy a wrong, if you will, that would allow this to go forward?
I'm not sure I understand that question, Your Honor.
Okay, I'm just perplexed by it. I guess I'm kind of repeating what Judge Klopaki is saying. I'm confused on why we're getting into the statutory arena if you are hoping to achieve the court's exercise of inherent authority. I'm not tracking with your argument.
My colleagues perhaps are, but I'm not. One of the factors that the court has to consider in any inherent authority expungement is the nature and severity of the offense. In affording deference to all of the branches of government, the court can't simply ignore the presence of this statute on remand as it determines whether or not to grant its inherent authority, use its inherent authority to grant an expungement.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at. The severity of the offense is what you're tying in.
Right. And I think we're all on the same page, but
by severity of offense, you're talking about the consequence of registration.
Correct. Yep. The fact that
can't the trial court simply, if it's remanded, look at the facts? The facts are that there was no registration requirement when he pled guilty. He's never had to. All the facts are there. Why do we need to give an advisory opinion as to what the statute means?
Your Honor, I'm just simply concerned that the court will see a statute that was enacted in 2016 saying that registration for expungement under a statutory framework for a conviction for an offense for which registration is required bars expungement. And my concern is that the district court will interpret that as, or rather would afford undue weight to the fact that the legislature—
Well, but if on our decision we say these are separate procedures, the statute has no impact on judicial expungement, look at the facts, and we are not going to give you an advisory opinion as to what the statute means.
I would obviously go to the court, and if that
is that hurtful to your position?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Frankly, I think that would accomplish the same thing ultimately.
So, Mr. Wilson, I want to make sure I understand. The severity of the offense is the registration, not the underlying offense that arguably requires the registration, i.e. solicitation of minors for sex. Am I wrong?
Judge, I think my concern is that that would be the interpretation from the district court. I think this court can remedy that in writing a clear enough.
No, I'm actually saying, why would that be the interpretation? I guess I would think the severity of the offense would be the severity of the offense solicitation of children for sex. Why would we be focusing on registration as opposed to the severity of the offense, which is what your client pled guilty to?
I believe because the nature and severity of the offense requires taking into consideration what the legislature has written in other expungement contexts. And one of the collateral consequences of Mr. Lundin's offense was predatory offender registration.
Clearly, it's the conduct that he pled guilty to, which resulted in a conviction, that the trial court will want to take a look at as to whether or not judicial expungement is appropriate.
Is that right, Mr. Wilson? I mean, that's how I would read it. I agree with Judge Klapacki. So I apologize. I just didn't understand focusing on the registration as the severity of the offense. So in any event, I think I understand now. Okay. Well, so, I mean, the bottom line is is it your position, and I think I'm following up on Judge Klapacki and Judge Werke's excellent questions. So apart from whether or not we believe registration is required under the statutes, in any event, you're arguing that even if it is a statutory, or even if statutory expungement is barred, no matter what, we have to remand it for the court to consider the exercise of its judicial authority to expunge, which it didn't do.
That is correct, Your Honor. And that is the second argument. The idea there, it's basically the corollary of the Supreme Court's decision in MDT, in that it would be a violation of the separation of powers if the legislature could enact a statute that essentially micromanages how the court disposes of its own records pursuant to its own inherent authority.
So I guess I want to sort of then ask the follow-up question. Can we avoid the whole, could we write an opinion that says, assuming for the sake of argument that the statutory expungement is barred, the court has to consider, we are remanding for the court to consider, whether it should whether it should expunge it under its inherent authority. Assuming we're thinking of doing that, do you like that or not like that?
I believe that's exactly what the court should do.
Okay.
I believe the court should remand for a proceeding in which the court considers under the inherent authority framework without regard to the statutory prohibition against registration offenses.
So what you really want to achieve for your client is then he will have no responsibility anywhere. He doesn't in Minnesota to register, but if he's in Florida, he doesn't have a conviction that would require him to register. I mean, that's really all you care about, isn't it? It's not the records, public records that may be under the executive branch that are beyond the reach. I mean, is that what your goal is?
Ultimately, Your Honor, my client's goal is to petition for a discharge, an early discharge from lifetime registration in Florida.
That's what I'm getting at, he doesn't have an obligation to register in Minnesota, but if he's somewhere else, he does. You don't care if somebody is Googling the Department of Public Safety records or whatever and sees that this is there. You're not asking us to reach into that, just the court records.
That is correct, Your Honor.
All right. Now I think I get it.
Your Honors, I believe that issue ultimately was thoroughly briefed by both sides. I think that the state wrote an incredibly good brief that is going to be helpful to the court in coming to the right decision there. I'm happy to field additional questions.
So, I don't know that I've ever heard that in an oral argument. So, Mr. Petros, you should be,
So if we remand as you requested, the trial court still has to decide whether expungement under inherent authority is appropriate under the circumstances of this case.
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. And I think that referee Tracy indicated that his review of the record, at least, is that Mr. Lundin presented a compelling case for expungement, although it will be up to the referee to decide on remand how to proceed.
And explain to me again why we would have to issue a presidential opinion.
Your Honor, that was the request of the state. I believe that a presidential opinion will aid in this issue not coming up again in the future. And I think it's an issue that has not been addressed. There are very few opinions issued by any appellate court in Minnesota concerning inherent authority expungement specifically. There are obviously an increasing amount of cases that have addressed statutory expungement since the law changed in 2016. But I do think it will be helpful for practitioners and judges in determining how to address these types of cases in the future.
Well, I mean, I guess I could see a presidential opinion saying, well, even if this offense requires registration and would be prohibited under the statute, the court still, even if there is that prohibition, the court should still always consider its inherent judicial authority. But if we don't address the first issue, then it's just saying, what a surprise, we always have had inherent judicial authority, and we still do. I don't see why that has to be precedential.
I tend to agree. I think MDT stands for that proposition already, that the separation of powers dictates that the courts retain their inherent authority. But if the court is inclined to address the first issue, MJRD is not published and doesn't directly deal with this issue.
Thank you. I got it.
Thank you, Your Honors.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. We'll now hear from counsel for the respondent, please.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. I am Assistant Hennepin County Attorney Adam Petras, and I represent the state of Minnesota, the respondent in this matter. And as you're all aware, the state did not take a formal position with respect to either of the two issues that appellant has raised in this appeal. But I'm happy to answer any questions that the panel has at this time. And I would like also to address the question that Judge Connolly just mentioned about why the state was requesting in its brief for this court to issue a precedential decision. And I agree with what Mr. Wilson just said in that that would be the in terms of the basis for why a precedential decision would be helpful here. And just to expand on that a little bit further, I would like to direct the court to page 4 of the district court's order that denied the request for expungement here, specifically paragraph 17. It's the last full sentence of that paragraph. And that it reads, this is what referee Tracy wrote in denying the request for inherent authority expungement, which is, quote, unless and until a contrary binding decision of a higher court holds otherwise, the provisions of Minnesota statute section 609A.02 subdivision 4 forbid expungement of this case under both the statutory and the inherent authority of the court rationales, end quote. So
what paragraph of the order? What number?
It's paragraph 17. It's on the fourth page.
I got it. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so basically what the referee is as adopted by the district court is saying there in Hennepin County is that the statutory prohibition of subdivision 4 applies to inherent authority expungement requests that relate only to judicial branch records.
Well, perhaps a referee just doesn't understand the expansiveness of inherent authority. I'm not sure if it's a publishable point because inherent authority says what it is. And if somebody, if a judge thought that it was not as expansive as it is, or he or she had lesser authority, that's just their mistaken belief, according to books I read. But if that's the basis for it, because there's that sentence, kind of an inflammatory sentence saying our hands are tied, I don't know if that's enough.
The chief judge of the Hennepin County District Court signed the order as well.
Your concern is that this might infect the whole bench of Hennepin County and will take the same position unless there's a published opinion to the contrary? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just looking for some clarity on an issue that does not have as much clarity as I think it could have.
Mr. Petras, what precisely, if you could tell us, what exactly does subdivision 4 say?
To me, it says that if there is a conviction for or records of a conviction of an offense for which registration is required, that, you know, the records cannot be expunged. Again, the state did not take a formal position in its brief because there was no position taken at the lower court, and we wanted to be consistent with that. But I think that the argument is very strong, like I explained in my brief, that this prohibition only relates to requests for statutory expungement and not to requests for expungement in a court's inherent authority, which is precisely what appellant is seeking in this case. And in terms of
what you're saying is, if we said that in a non-precedential opinion, it would not be persuasive enough. Is that what you're saying?
Because they're a stubborn lot in Hennepin County? Is that what you're saying?
I have seen courts.
I would agree with you. Some of my former colleagues were pretty stubborn, but I think they've all retired.
And all I want to say is that whichever one of us would write this opinion, I it'd be expansive. Maybe we can educate the judges statewide on what inherent authority means. This has been a fun argument, but I think there's perhaps some lessons that were not learned, and you're asking for a published piece on that only to further expand and say, this is what it said, and this is really what it says.
I would imagine the world would not end if in a published opinion we said Minnesota Statute 609A.02 Subdivision 4 does not prohibit the exercise of inherent judicial authority. Is that what you'd like us to say, Mr. Petras?
I don't think that the world would end if you held that way in a presidential opinion. I think that would be a great syllabus point for such a presidential opinion.
And Mr. Wilson, I assume you'd like us to say the same thing.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, we'll let you know. Is there some stand, Mr. Petras or Mr. Wilson, is there some standing order that the chief judge has issued saying this means no inherent judicial authority that we are unaware of?
I am not aware.
This is how we kind of view it.
There is some counter argument to be made. I don't want to duplicate what I already wrote in my brief. I touch on that there, but I am not aware of any standing order to address your question directly. I think it was just a difference maybe in interpretation from how this panel feels and how the district court treated this particular case. And I understand that if this court were to issue a non-presidential opinion directly addressing this case, appellant situation would be resolved. And on remand, those five factors could be addressed and the merits of the petition for expungement could be dug into. I was just hoping to avoid cases and appeals like this in the future, which was the basis for my request for a presidential decision.
Nothing in MDT says that subdivision prohibits inherent judicial authority. Am I right?
I don't believe so. And as Mr. Wilson wrote in his brief, there are several passages in that Supreme Court decision that are very supportive of appellant's position.
I think Judge Klapacki had another question.
Well, I suppose we shouldn't focus just on Hennepin County. I suppose this issue could arise anywhere in the state.
Particularly in Stearns County. It was my understanding they're very stubborn up there as well.
Less so since I left the trial bench.
I am more than happy to address any other questions any member of the panel has. But if there are not any further, I defer to the judgment of this court on what to do.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson, you'll have the last word, sir.
Thank you. I would just note related to whether there's a standing order. As far as I know, there's no standing order in Hennepin County. What I have seen is that in Hennepin County, at least, they have one referee who handles all of the expungement hearings, and that referee uses form orders, at least as the basis for issuing denials of expungement petitions. And in every single denial that I've received, that language is present in there without any explanatory language to follow.
So the language in paragraph 17?
No, Your Honor, just simply a recitation of the language in 609A02 sub 4, the prohibitory language. But I'll just leave it at that. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. Thank you very much, Mr. Petras. Our decision will be issued within 90 days.
Thanks, everyone.
Right. I think we're all here.